Welcome to Manager Tools. Is this normal? Episode 1. Here we go.
Folks, this guidance answers the questions, what is this normal? I don't get time with my boss's boss. Is that normal? And my direct doesn't communicate with me. Is this normal? Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
Okay, Mark, we're going to do something a little bit different today. I think people will like it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, so a little history. At Manager Tools and Career Tools, we generally give guidance that's quite different than what you can find broadly on the internet, because the vast majority of people on the internet don't know what they're talking about. And people answer questions but don't have any experience or have an approach that is based on the organization or on their narrow experience rather than on what is best for the vast majority of managers or professionals. One of the very few sites that we like at Manager Tools is called Ask a Manager. It's run by a former manager who has excellent guidance. Her name is Allison Green. And two or three years ago, Wendy and I stumbled across a post that she did that was basically, is this normal? People wonder as they start their careers or as they start being a manager, is this thing I'm seeing normal or should I tolerate it? If I shouldn't tolerate it, then okay, what do I do? Or maybe I think it should be a different way, but if I found out that 80% of the companies in the world, it was this way, I might choose not to do anything about it. And if you don't have any context, Wendy and I just thought it was an excellent way to help people understand, no, that bad thing you don't like about your small company or about your big company or about your technical company or about your boss's behavior or the CEO's behavior, whatever, that thing that you don't like may in fact be completely normal and you just don't have a net to catch it, or you don't understand where it comes from and it may have a completely reasonable origin or cause. So Wendy and I agreed that we would periodically do episodes of Is This Normal? Both for bosses and for professionals, anybody in the organization. Of course, Manager Tools will do the boss part and Career Tools will do the professional part.
Look, I always have these kind of questions. Like I ask myself when I go to bed at night, is it normal to have a business partner that the only thing he thinks about is management? And I just go, no, that's not normal.
No, it's not. Yeah. Not normal. Because actually I don't. I think about management and golf.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And baseball occasionally.
Well, folks, I think some of you have been around for 11 years know that Mike and I kid each other sometimes when we're sitting around having what amounts to a focus group of two, trying to decide what Manager Tools is going to do, what our strategy is, and so on. We often say, well, it's pretty obvious that everyone will think this. And we make the classic psychological fallacy of transferring what we believe to everyone else, because of course, if everyone else were smart, they would think the way we do. And so the way Mike and I address that when one of us says something that the other one thinks is a little bit ludicrous is we call each other Abby for Abby Normal, like the brain in the movie Young Frankenstein. So Mike and I recognize that in some ways we're not normal. In other ways, when it comes to managing and dealing with people and so on, we're just like everybody else. We're good at some things, not good at some things. And this is a classic case where I love the idea that we get to help people understand context. Because think about it, Mike. I mean, there are plenty of young managers. There are plenty of young professionals who make dumb mistakes. And they didn't make a dumb mistake because they're dumb. They made a dumb mistake because they don't know something. And in part, it's because nobody told them. They don't have any context.
Yeah, and the big mistake they make is thinking that they're alone, that they're the only person who doesn't get it, that all the managers in their company, all their peer managers, they get it, but I don't. And that's the first mistake.
In fact, I was signing books. I was signing the Effective Manager books last night. We're recording this on a Saturday morning, and it was late Friday night, and I was signing, inscribing books, and I happened to open the book to sign it, and it turned to a page which says, if you don't know what you're doing and you look around and you think everybody else does know what you're doing, what they're doing, and you're alone, think again. They don't know what they're doing either. I think I said that in the first 10 pages of the book. So, okay, Mike, I really think we've already covered the first part, which is what's the history, the genesis, and the idea behind is this normal? And Mike, we ought to get to the two topics we're going to cover.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the first topic?
The first topic is I can't or I don't get time with my boss's boss. Is this normal? Okay. And for the record, folks, what we're going to do is talk about why it is or isn't normal, if you have that question, and then give you ways to address it. We're not just going to identify a problem. We're also going to tell you how to address it. Obviously, this is Manager Tools. So the answer to the question is this normal in this case? Is yes, absolutely, it's normal. Very few people get anything more than some passing interest from their boss's boss. Now, that's in part because boss's bosses, what we would call a skip-level manager, have other things to do, of course, but there are some that do skip-level meetings and try to have a relationship. And there are plenty of bosses' bosses who, like if Mike was my boss's boss, my skip boss, Mike might be working very hard to have a good relationship with me within his context. And yet I might only see him for an hour once a quarter, plus perhaps two or three or four meetings in a month, maybe every week we're in meetings together. But the answer to the question is yes, it's completely normal. You're not going to get a lot of time with your boss's boss. Now, there are some exceptions to that. If you're in a matrix organization and it's a relatively flat organization, it's possible that your boss's boss and you could be on a project together. And in that case, you're working together and there's some assumption that the role power differential between the two of you is less important than the tasks you have on the project. Do not mistake that for suggesting that you can boss that person around or treat them as a peer and so on. And they'll ask for you to treat them as a peer in some cases, and you should not because they're your boss's boss. But look, the reason why this is so is because they're a lot busier than you realize. Some of that is real. They have significant priorities, and they're bigger priorities that take more time and are not easily broken down into tasks and deliverables day to day, week to week, at least for most people. Any big project can be broken down into deliverables that can be done on a day to day basis, but it gets harder the more conceptual or the more idea driven your tasks are. But they are fabulously busy, so much so that one of the things that managers, junior managers, even senior managers say to me all the time is, I literally have no time to get my own work done. I'm in 8 hours of meeting a day. Now, that's a calendaring problem and a priorities problem. It can be solved. But if you look at their calendar, if you ever get a chance to look at their calendar, they're chock-a-block with meetings and or they're chock-a-block with travel. And one of the just true facts of life in corporate America, whether you like it or not, is in an ideal world, someone who traveled would travel, work all the time while they're on the plane and in the car, if they're not renting a car, and they'll do email at night, and they'll meet with clients or meet with customers or meet with vendors, and then still get tons of work done. It is my experience that that is not true at all. And I've said this before, for those of you who are licensees and things, I think that if you look at the laptops in first class, and now the iPads in first class, the vast majority of people during the business week, during business day hours, are playing games and watching movies while they're on a plane. I find that vaguely offensive, but it's nonetheless true. And let's not live in fantasy land. Let's live in real world land. And so that travel puts them further behind in their work. And it also takes them away from the likelihood of meeting with one of their skips, even if it is over the phone. So they're busy, which means that they don't have enough time. If they don't schedule time with a skip level direct, they're not going to have the time. Secondly, they're busy with different priorities. You might think you really want to get to know your boss's boss. That's great. And in fact, we hope that you have a good relationship with him or her. But believe me, he or she controls 90% of the ability, 95, 98% of the ability for the two of you to have a relationship, simply because she's at a more senior level, she's busier, and so on. But the priorities are different. So you might say, well, Mark, I'm busy too, but I want him to know who I am because he's the person who's going to decide about promotions. And that senior person would say, yes, I get that. And that's not my priority right now. The fact that you want a relationship with me is simply one of the criteria that go into the decisions I make regarding the priorities I have and the decisions I make regarding how I'm going to implement those priorities on my calendar. So your boss's boss is very busy. They have different priorities. And here's the kicker. This is why the chain of command exists. Now, we don't, you know, Mike, it's funny. We don't talk about chain of command all that much. A lot of people still ask us, oh, you're in the military. Did you learn all this in the military? And the answer is no. We learned virtually none of what we share with you in Manager Tools from the military. Chain of command is not a pleasant phrase. It has a tinge, an association that's negative. And I understand that. People don't like the idea of command. But what's funny is people act like there is command in large organizations all the time. They just don't want to call it that. But there is a chain of command. And your boss... your boss's boss wants to have a relationship, assuming she is reasonably productive and effective and intelligent, wants to have an excellent relationship with your boss. And your boss is the one who's supposed to have a relationship with you. Now, you might say, well, Mark, again, that doesn't help me. I want more opportunity for bigger projects and broader and so on. I hear you. And in the case of skip versus skip boss, when the skip says, I want more ability to work across the organization, I really want bigger projects and so on, that's one set of priorities. And the skip boss saying, well, that's great, but there's a lot of other factors I have to consider. And there's somebody between you and me whom I rely on to maintain at one level distant a reasonable relationship with you based on all of my priorities.
That's right. And there's one of me and there's 100 of you.
Exactly.
That
yeah.
It becomes a little hard.
Yeah. And it's even worse, actually, for young people who are, well, I'll tell you how I felt when I was an Army officer, when I was just starting out in my organizational career. The word I would use is naive. I wasn't stupid, but I was absolutely naive. We've talked about politics before. And for me, I didn't know any better. But as I started my organizational career, I said, well, one of the things that's important to me is being successful. And I equated being successful with having more authority, more responsibility, and therefore having the right job and so on. And so I assumed, therefore, that the colonel, Colonel Texera is who I'm thinking about, Mike, would have a great deal of influence in that. So therefore, I was thinking, well, how can I have a good relationship with Colonel Texera? Well, to a second lieutenant, Colonel Texera was a god, so I didn't attempt to have that, only because I was scared. But if you're two levels down, if you're just starting your career, you don't know what you don't know. You are, to some degree, much more naive than you realize. And what you want isn't of interest to your skip-level boss. And you actually need your boss between you and your boss's boss to mitigate some of the mistakes, stupidities, errors, naiveties, lack of political sensitivity that you might show to your boss's boss.
Yeah, good point. You having a great relationship with your skip boss may not be a great idea until you develop some political astuteness.
Yeah, so chain of command is not a good word, but the fact is organizations are vertical. That verticality exists for a reason. It's actually baked into human DNA. And so, therefore, we need to be effective within the organization that exists. The organization is not going to say, aha, here's new person who doesn't want to follow the traditional path. We're simply going to allow him or her to do whatever the heck they want. It's just not going to happen. And it's not personal. If Mike is my boss's boss, he's not saying, I don't like horsemen. He's saying, I like these other 13 priorities that determine whether or not I get promoted. I like them more than I like spending some time with horsemen, so that horsemen can feel like he has someone talking about how good he is when the promotion board meets. So there's all kinds of good reasons why you're not going to get time with your boss's boss, even if you want it. And folks, there's nothing wrong with wanting it. There is something wrong with wanting it and expecting to get it. because that's not how the organization works. And for the record, for those of you who are thinking, ooh, when I get to be a skip level boss, I'm going to do skip level one-on-ones. I just had a conversation with an executive yesterday. I said, well, the way I solve that problem, Mark, is I do one-on-ones with all my skips. I said, well, how often do you do them? Well, I said, once a quarter. He says, once a quarter. I said, well, that's really not a one-on-one. And I said, how many people are in the room? He says, oh, two or three. I said, why do you call them one-on-ones? So the answer to the question from the boss's perspective, the skip level boss's perspective, is to have skip level meetings, not skip level one-on-ones. Because the problem with skip level one-on-ones, go back to our previous point about the boss between you and your skip level boss. If your skip level boss starts having one-on-ones with you, that will degrade your relationship with your boss and your boss's relationship with her boss. You do not want that. You having one-on-ones both with your boss and your skip level boss is a very bad idea for everyone involved, even if the skip level boss is stupid enough to want to do it. They don't have time. If we believe that skip level one-on-ones are a good idea, then well, the CEO should be having one-on-ones with everybody. And organizational scale causes it to break down at one layer between boss and direct. Try to go two layers, that skip level boss is not going to have time to get what he or she wants done. Now the question is, what do I do about this? Well, first of all, don't whine, okay? This is the way organizations are. Get used to it. I think these kinds of bits of knowledge probably follow the seven stages of grief, which is anger and denial and so on. And when you get to Mike and I's level of experience, rather than we won't say age, when you get to our level of experience, we realize what we should have done was not be impetuous, or for those people who are perhaps less assertive than Mike and I, simply to fold up your tent and say, oh, well, but to recognize what you can do within the construct of the organization. And the single biggest thing you can do to improve your relationship with your skip level boss is improve your relationship with your boss. Now, you might say, well, Mark, I happen to know that my boss doesn't necessarily have a great relationship with her boss. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Even in that situation, in all but the most egregious of cases where your boss is very near to being fired, the single biggest lever you have, however big it may be, is having a great relationship with your boss. So that if Mike is my skip level boss, but I report to Joe, the way I build a relationship with Mike indirectly is I build a great relationship with Joe. And the first rule of being a direct and building a relationship with your boss is deliver results. If you deliver results and you deliver outsized results while working on a good relationship with your boss, it is very unlikely that your boss is not going to attempt to influence her boss regarding your performance. That makes her look good. She's self-interested just like you are, just like your skip level bosses. Now, again, the people say, well, that won't work for me because, you know, my boss won't promote me. She won't talk about me. You know, she won't do anything. They don't get along. And I say, okay, that's a different problem. Find a different boss. Or decide, do what you can with what you have, where you are right now. And what that means is, if you have a boss and you want a better relationship with your skip level boss, build a trusting relationship with your boss. Now, if your boss is relatively quiet and so on, it doesn't hurt for you to say, hey, I'd really appreciate it if you'd make this known to your boss. I just feel like this is big enough or it's broad enough that it might be beneficial in my career. I would appreciate that. I wouldn't whine about it. I wouldn't push too hard on it. There's nothing wrong with dropping a hint like that. There's also nothing wrong with when you're at a meeting with your boss's boss, make sure you shake hands. Don't sit next to her. Don't monopolize the conversation. Shake hands, say hello, know what their priorities are, which you may be able very well to find out from your boss. But that's about the extent of it. But if you deliver good results and you have a good relationship with your boss, that's about all you're going to be able to do in terms of getting time with or building a relationship with your boss's boss. And you will thank me when tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people have heard this podcast and you are a skip level boss and they do it the right way by delivering results to the people who report to you, and you don't have to try to have a relationship with every single one of your skips.
Dude, I think that the whole results thing is brilliant, because I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking back through my experience, and I did skip level meetings. I made an effort to try to develop relationship with my skips, to call it a relationship is probably a stretch. But in any case, regardless, I knew my folks, my relationship was, it was heavily flavored by what projects they had been on that were successful, what things they had done were successful. I mean, if I start thinking about some of my favorite skips, I think about them in the context of the projects they were on and the things they did. And for me, I got to admit, the things that they did that made me look good. God, it makes me sound bad, I'm sure.
You know, it's funny. I had an extension of this conversation recently with somebody who said, yeah, I made the point that it really boils down to results over and over again. And he said, you know, I had a boss once that really was, you know, just really liked certain people. This boss happened to be a high eye, outgoing, friendly, cheerful, and so on, and had a couple of, quote, friends, unquote, on the team. And it really tore down the team. And in the same conversation, this person also said, but you know, the results thing is kind of hard. There are people who are good who haven't found their niche yet or whatever. And so sometimes I think we miss people who could be great because they're not delivering results right now. And both of those things are true. But what's interesting is, why do bosses who have friends on a team, why do bosses who use personality or personal relationships with directs or bosses say, to do well, why does that bother people? And what's funny is the answer is because people understand it ought to be a meritocracy, not a popularity contest. But then when you say, well, okay, go get results, they say, well, I don't really want, you know, I don't necessarily want to work that hard, or, you know, maybe they ought to consider the whole person and so on. I say, you can't have it both ways. It is a meritocracy. That's the way it's built to be. Organizations exist to serve the society in which they live. There are taxes, if you will, that every individual pays to the company in order to help the company go. You lose like 15 to 20% of your productivity when you join an organization. The beauty of it is the organization magnifies your input onto the total output by a factor of 5 or 10. Large organizations are massively powerful organizations, and small organizations are too, because of specialization of labor and the ability to communicate and so on. But people want to have it both ways. Well, I don't want my boss to play favorites, but on the other hand, I don't want you to judge me based on results, which is kind of funny. Okay, you want to talk about the second one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so my direct doesn't communicate with me. Is this normal? And the answer to this question is also yes. Now, I don't mean to suggest, we're not suggesting here that every direct won't communicate with you. Some will, some won't. Generally speaking, when we hear from a manager, I have a direct who won't communicate with me, what it is a manager who considers a certain amount of communication reasonable, and the direct, through either lots of experience or bad bosses or their own personality, their own behavioral tendencies, tends to communicate less than the boss. And the gap that the boss perceives between the amount of normal communication that they want and the amount of communication that the direct gives them is notable enough that the boss wants more. So that said, it's not true in every case, but it does happen. And to be frank, we wish every manager in the world were a manager tools manager, and we're doing one-on-ones and giving professional feedback and coaching people and building trust and so on. But the fact is, there are good reasons why directs don't communicate with their boss. I often tell people that the worst thing that can happen to your children as they start their careers is for them to have a bad first boss. When they are most open, most learning, most vulnerable, if you will, when they're 21, 22, 23, whatever it is, and they're learning about bosses and they have a bad one, those lessons are very hard for a later boss to overcome. The fact is, there are a lot of bosses who should not be trusted. And we use the word should very rarely around here at Manager Tools. There are a lot of bosses who are abusive, who are selfish, who are not ethical. And all you have to do is get burned hard one time to say, whoa, okay. The appropriate survival response in any organization is to, you know, hold your cards very close to your vest and not trust a boss. A good example of this, of course, is 360 feedback, where a direct is told, yeah, I really want to hear from you. And the direct is, oh, wow, my boss is really a modern person. And next thing you know, he's candid or she's candid with their boss, and the boss chops their head off. That only has to happen to you one time. for that direct when she's 22, 23, 24, when she's finally 28 working for you, and you're really an open, trusting boss who would never do that to someone, and you think, boy, it's been a couple of months and she's not opening up. Yeah, you're right. And it may take as much as a year to overcome repeated small and large instances to overcome what essentially is a lack of trust in your role as a manager. Whomever works for you, you're not only managing them, you're managing them in the context of all the previous boss relationships they've ever had. So some directs don't trust their bosses. And enough absence of trust simply becomes fear, because trust and love are related to one another, and fear is the opposite of love. So that's one thing. There could be a lack of trust. Another thing it could be, literally a lack of awareness. For many young professionals in the modern technological society we live in, they have been texting or emailing their colleagues, their friends. They have been in very few, I'm going to use the word intimate, superior subordinate relationships. The only two models they have are parents and perhaps college professors. They are unaware of the protocols of organizational life. There are many people who would say, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Isn't that the way things work? And of course, if you're 40 now, you would say, oh gosh, I was never that dumb. But trust me, you probably were. And so they don't know. They don't know what the protocols, what the norms, what the standards are. And if they don't know them, you're the person as their manager that should be telling them. Another reason, their behavioral profile. If you're managing a high C, a perfectionist, an I dotter, a T crosser, somebody who likes things just so, somebody whose favorite phrase, who translates the phrase ready, aim, fire as ready, aim, 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 new data, ready, ready, aim, 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 and doesn't ever want to take action because they want their plan to be perfect before they implement it, they're going to be less communicative. That is neither good nor bad until you overlay your desire for more communication. They may not know that they need to double the amount of communication they're used to just to meet the minimum for being part of an organization, because one of the taxes everyone pays in being an organization as opposed to being a one-person show is communicating with your colleagues. So that could be one of the factors. And this is completely normal, and it's our job as managers to help them start communicating in a way that will make them more effective. If you go to any company, any organization's website and look for their core values, almost everybody has at least team, and everyone definitely has communication. If you have a direct who is really good at their job, let's say they're a software developer or they're a quality assurance expert, just really, really smart at something, but they're a loner, they're an individualist, if you will, rather than a team player. If that's the case, and somebody says, how good is he at his job? What you have to say, no, you don't have to say it, but the appropriate answer is not very good. Now, I don't recommend you actually say that, because that will confuse people, because they've probably seen enough to know that he or she is actually very good at the parts of their job that you can write down about delivering results. But it is not enough to deliver results in the absence of building relationships with other colleagues.
Yeah.
Team is on the corporate website for a reason. Communication is on there for a reason. If you do your job brilliantly and you are a pain to the team, you are not doing your job well, because communicating, being part of a team, being a reasonable, respectful, open, collaborative, communicative colleague is part of everyone's job.
Yeah. Pat, well, we said it many times. If you had a brilliant person on your staff who delivered great individual results, but constantly engaged in behaviors that tore down the team, they'd be gone.
Done. Absolutely done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now there are young managers who say, no, I can't spare this person. He gets things done. But the more senior people would say, don't do it. That cancer is ruining your organization, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got a direct who's not communicating. What do we do? What's the answer? And this one ought not to be hard for those of you who've been listening for so many years. First of all, you start building a relationship with them in your one-on-ones every week. And you expect them to communicate with you during their portion of the one-on-one. If you have a non-communicative direct in a one-on-one who just gives you one-word answers and so on, there's a podcast for addressing this. It's very detailed. And for the record, a direct who simply refuses to engage in a one-on-one for a period of 3 to 6 months probably needs to be fired. And we walk through how to do that as well. It's not hard to do, and you will absolutely get 100% support from your HR team. But you've got to start having regular meetings. You've got to let the direct go first. If you don't know what I mean by one-on-ones, or if you think you're doing one-on-ones, but you do most of the talking, or if you think you're doing one-on-ones, but you only do them every 3 weeks or once a month or so on, you're not thinking about a manager tools one-on-one if you're fairly new to us. So go back and listen to our basic series where we talk about one-on-ones. The second thing you can do, which I have found seems to be a lost art, is ask questions. Even if a direct comes to your one-on-one and doesn't have status updates, doesn't share about what's going on and so on, you can absolutely spend the next 20, 25 minutes asking them questions. Well, tell me about Project X. Okay, you say it's going okay. Can you give me more details? How many tasks are in the mix right now? How many of them are green? How many of them are yellow? How many are red? What do you worry about relative to these things? You can apply your thinking to projects, to work status, to relationships with other people. You can ask tons of questions. And we want you to be pleasant about it. This is not an inquisition. You could put a pleasant tone in your voice. If Mike were my director, say, well, okay, Mike, thanks for that. Let's talk about Project X for a minute. First, give me an overview. How's it going? And Mike talks for 30 seconds, and I say, okay, well, and by the way, I don't immediately necessarily tell him that's not enough. I say, well, okay, let me dig a little deeper. What are the 3 or 4 tasks you're working on this week on Project X? And Mike lists 2 tasks. And I say, okay, that's great, thanks. And is it just 2 tasks or are there more? Well, I'm not really sure. Well, okay. Of those 2, are they scheduled to be green? Is there any risk associated with it? And so on. Now, pleasant tone of voice. Asking questions about work. If a direct at this point were to say, you know, I'm uncomfortable. You're asking me details about work.
And laughing is probably not the right answer.
And it absolutely happens. It absolutely happens. And the classic phrase is, well, you're micromanaging me. And the answer to that, of course, is no, I'm not micromanaging you. I'm obligated to know what your status is. And lacking a detailed report of all your tasks and so on, I have to ask. And we need to find a way for you to give me enough information so that I can feel good about what I know in case someone asks me, and I can provide you the wisdom of my years, if you'll pardon the expression, in the event that you say something is good, but in fact, I have knowledge which suggests it may not be good. And I'm asking questions like this on a regular basis. For non-communicators, we learn to ask them questions, okay? Now, after, say, 6 weeks of asking questions, I then perhaps say to Mike at the end of one of our one-on-ones, and I can ask him questions in other venues as well, staff meeting and in the hallway and at his cubicle and so on. I could say, hey, Mike, I don't know if you've noticed, but I spend a lot of time asking questions. It'd probably work better if you would take a more proactive approach to communicating with me about status, about work, about relationships, about issues you're facing, development opportunities you want, and so on. If you're going to make me ask all the questions, it would be crazy for you then to be disappointed if I'm asking the wrong questions. If, in fact, you have an issue, a need, a problem, a point of contention, anything at all that you want to talk with me about, it is not enough to passively assume that other people ought to know what you want. Communication is what the listener does, and that means you need to sometimes talk. And by the way, if somebody's 20 when you're doing this, they'll probably pick it up pretty quickly. When they're 40, if they're still that way, they've learned it, it's ingrained it, and it may take a good bit longer. But the fact is, if somebody continued with one-wording you, if you will, for 6 months, it would be absolutely reasonable to have a discussion about their team play, which includes communication and collaboration. And why do we even need collaboration? Because we already have the right word for it. It's called communication. Those things are absolutely expected of everyone. Otherwise, you don't have an organization. So if a direct doesn't communicate, is that normal? Yes. Is it good? No. Do you need to address it? Yes. Might it take a few months? Yes. How do you do it? have one-on-ones so they know they've got to talk to you every week and ask more questions. And by the way, we're just skimming the surface. There's more to come in that particular to help people become better communicators, but those are the two top things you can do. So just a quick review. This is the first episode in a series of casts that will come out periodically called Is This Normal? To help people understand that what you're going through is probably fairly normal. There are exceptions. Every once in a while we'll ask an Is This Normal question, and we'll say, no, that's not normal, and here's what you need to do. You may not get as much time with your boss's boss as you want. That's normal. And sometimes your directs won't communicate with you, and that's normal too, but it's your job to fix it.
And you must.
Yes.
You must fix it.
You must.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next week. Have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want, with easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions. It couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.